For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As you age, you get a different perspective on life and what's important and valuable. I need to win one. No, it's not going to change. It's not going to change the section of my life that's not related to hockey at all. No, that's just the truth. That's how I feel. I'm 30 years into this thing. Wouldn't mind winning one.
Stanley Cup Final Game 1 starts later tonight between Florida and Edmonton. That was Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Florida Panthers. And one of the few reasons I could shrug and go, yeah, okay, fine, if Florida wins. But otherwise, I can't stand them. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson now joining me for the final 2 hours of this show, as together we're going to go through an interesting problem that has, oddly enough, nothing to do with hockey. Why did I bring the hockey guy on if I'm going to talk about something that's not hockey? Well, my brain broke on Thursday.
What happened to your brain on Thursday?
Zach Jones and I were talking, and I was catching up with him. And then the trolley car problem came to mind, you know, like all the rage about like the Jalen Waddle contract, the Justin Jefferson contract, and like the payment of wide receivers and this wide receiver market coming up in this big and beautiful way. It gave me a dilemma because Jeremy and Joe were talking about it in the morning show during the week. And Jeremy was stunned as to how even the poll was about paying a receiver a contract like Justin Jefferson got. And I thought to myself, isn't this the trolley car problem where you can either pay one big name receiver or do what the Packers have done and collect a roster of solid, not spectacular players that will turn into an elite unit without an elite player?
It's interesting. It's definitely an interesting conundrum that that discussion brings up in terms of what to do at wide receiver, just because, you know, I think Bills fans and everybody here in Buffalo that follows the Bills got used to the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs sort of connection for four straight years. And for the most part, it was a great connection. Those two clicked on a number of instances and lots of memorable plays that were had. But yeah, time kind of changes, and we're now in a sort of a new era of what the Bills can provide on offense, because it, as you mentioned, and as I think a lot of people obviously can see, there's no big number one guy, at least right now, on the roster that is going to fill that hole that Stephon Diggs leaves. Maybe you got a guy like a Keon Coleman or even a Marquez Valdes-Scandling who's going to fill in for the Gabe Davis role. But yeah, certainly a good group of wide receivers, not great, but certainly I think the way that Joe Brady, though, does his offense is he finds ways to distribute the ball to a number of different targets, not just one specific target. And obviously we're forgetting two, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are also in this equation. James Cooks can be Cook can be thrown in there as well. So certainly a focus of this offseason has been on the offense, and heading into training camp is which wide receivers are going to step up. Is Keon Coleman going to be among that group that really takes the mantle as rookie? And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that all plays out.
Not to mention, you forgot a name at the wide receiver position in Curtis Samuel, who exclusively played with garbage at quarterback throughout his entire career.
Yeah.
Like, he's played in Washington and Carolina, and the latter of whom it was the end of Cam Newton's career when he just showed up. So it's not even like he got to play with one of the best players that the Panthers have ever had in their franchise history. No, instead, you're playing with just a bunch of weirdos. And like, what, you think, you telling me that 600 yards with Carson Wentz or Sam Howell is not an accomplishment? That's what Samuel has consistently been able to do in Washington in his two full seasons there. So yeah. I think that the Bills have quietly constructed a solid group of players where now if you try to pay that sort of money, well, the Bills are still on the hook for that money. So it's not like they couldn't do both of getting a solid collection of players and then also try to pay someone. But it led me to this, Brayton. And if anyone has any thoughts on this, 803-0550 is the number to call. I don't think the Bills need to do it. The Bills can continue investing in the position, but do it on a lower scale. And when I say lower scale, I mean second, third round picks routinely. Try to replenish the room. You don't need to go out and desperately grab for a big name, but continue to quietly assemble a solid unit and rotate in, rotate out. And of course, that doesn't mean players like Deontay Hardy or Trent Sherfield. No, that means getting solid second tier players that have accomplished things in the National Football League, like an MVS or players of that sort. Because I also think that with these wide receivers asking for such exorbitant contracts, Brayton, the other part of the shoe is that that will drop. There are going to be quality players that are going to end up getting, what, 12 to 15 per season?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I agree with you. I think that the way that Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, how they're trying to kind of concoct the way that the team is, the offense especially, is made up this year for targets for Josh Allen, you know, there likely isn't going to be that flashy number one guy or that guy that, you know, Josh Allen is going to solely rely on. And again, it all comes down to, I think, how the Joe Brady offense is really kind of made. And I think we saw a little bit of it in Carolina where there wasn't necessarily one specific guy who that offense ran through that a quarterback would try to target. It was a lot of different options when Joe Brady had that offense. And we saw it right after he took over when Ken Dorsey was fired. You know, Josh Allen did not target Stephon Diggs specifically. And when Stephon Diggs was targeted, he wasn't exactly at his best. I mean, that's a different point entirely. But the distribution of the ball was entirely different under Joe Brady in the last, what, 7, 8, 9 games of the year, however many games the Bills played after the Ken Dorsey firing. So, and you bring up Curtis Samuel. And yes, I did forget about Curtis Samuel for just a moment until you brought him up. And tell me if I'm wrong here, Derek. The way I kind of feel they could utilize Curtis Samuel almost feels like the Isaiah McKenzie sort of way, where he's kind of that gadget guy who can be an option on end arounds or really kind of be just a nice guy that can be thrown just about everywhere on the field and is kind of that burner type player. But I think Curtis Samuel might be I think he's even better than Isaiah McKenzie and could have an even more prominent role than Isaiah McKenzie did when he was in Buffalo. I mean, that's just the read that I kind of get when they brought in Curtis Samuel that way. Was just kind of like, okay, maybe they're trying to look more so as Curtis Samuel as sort of that Isaiah McKenzie type player, but maybe have a little bit more of a prominent role for him. Or a little bit more additional work and workload than McKenzie did when he was here.
Not to mention the Bills kind of found a lot more consistency the minute that Brady took over and started calling the offense. But also, the Bills were consistently winning games without it being Stephon Diggs being the leading receiver. As a matter of fact, the game that Joe Brady takes over is Week 11 against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs leads the team in receiving yards once after the change in offensive coordinator, and it was for a total of 48 yards against Dallas when they figured we might as well just keep running because the Dallas Cowboys keep running dime on us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the Bills don't know how to function an offense without a top wide receiver, because they did it for the entirety of the second half of the season, where, again, they were doing it with death by a thousand cuts of different players stepping up into a role. You need more, obviously, from this group, because Josh Allen was kind of, you know, the numbers were a little pedestrian in the postseason when it comes to his passing yard totals. However, he still does his thing and adds plenty of rushing on the ground. this is also a team that, in the playoffs, what has been their biggest issue? It has not been their wide receiver talent. It has been the depth of the team. Mm-hmm. And if you're to throw out a giant quarterback contract and a giant wide receiver contract, it's going to start stopping you from having the opportunity for quality depth. We're going to look at it this year because the Bills do have a large cap hit that they're paying for Stephon Diggs that is not on the roster, and you have the cap hit for Josh Allen. So we're seeing it this year where there's a little bit of a roster crunch. Yeah, they got the $10 million from Trey White on the post-June 1 cut, but I think more or less they're going to keep that for flexibility and for depth purposes, and I think that's the proper way that they should use that money at this point. You don't need to go throwing everything to the moon to go get Brandon Ayuk. You don't need to go trying to get everything to land a big-name receiver at this point anymore. I think this is how you should be building it is you take Green Bay's model where if any of those players comes up for contract, for example, like Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, like they're going to be up for deals soon, teams can then look at them and go, where's the production? I don't owe you that much money. I can get you on a solid deal and you're going to take it because the open market might be kinder to you. It might not.
And there's also the element where those guys oftentimes will take the chance on themselves. They'll be off the contract, whether they have a year or two left, and maybe they're looking for that, and they'll say, you know what? Let's play this out. Let's see how next year goes. I'll bet on myself that I can produce even more, and if we win, that's great, and then I might get the chance to get myself some more money and get the opportunity to get paid a little bit more. And I think we've seen that in a number of instances. Even Justin Jefferson last year, there was that thing from either Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport where they had offered him, I think, $28 million a year last year at around this time for a new contract, and Justin Jefferson just said, you know what? Let's play out this upcoming season. I'm going to bet on myself to be even better than I was. And I know that this past year he had his injury problems that kept him out for a little bit. But in the games that he was playing, he was productive. And I think that he was able to show to the Vikings and to the rest of the NFL that it's just like, hey, instances like this can work out for a player's benefit. Sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, there are those instances where, you know, you talk about Green Bay, Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, some of these top players that are becoming good. I keep forgetting the other guy's name, Reed. Sorry, but he's another guy that I know he was a rookie last year, but give him another couple of years, he might be one of those guys that's just, yeah, you know what? I need a contract. I'm going to go out and prove that I'm worthy of, you know, X amount of dollars or whatnot. But, again, when looking at the way that the Bills roster is constructed right now, I'm not 100% set on the way it is. If they could go add that number one guy, I'm not going to say no. But at the same point, I think that Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, they're all going to have the thought process of the way they want to build the roster. And maybe that changes by the trade deadline. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously stuff can happen in training camp as well. Injuries are always that possibility. But you know, I think they realize that maybe this year is not the year that they're going to go out and get that number one target, or at least have that option or the availability to do so. It might cost them a little more right now. Maybe next year that option gets better. Maybe there's a guy that falls to them in the draft that is a better option for them. I'm not sure what that exactly is right now, but I mean, I'm totally preparing myself at this point to go into the 24 regular season with this group of receivers intact the way it is right now.
And you mentioned this group of receivers. It is, when you look at the final collection of it, a solid group. Brandon Bean mm-hmm. said before the draft, this is not what it's going to look like. And after some tinkering, after a little bit of maneuverability here from this group, you have Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Chase Claypool might make this roster. We don't know. And like, mm-hmm. there's this collection of players now that you have a solid group of guys who have either produced at the NFL level or are up and coming players or prospects or a rookie like Keon Coleman. So now, because there's a group of solid set players here, obviously things can change. That said, well, how much will any one of them particularly dominate? The thing is that you needed Stephon Diggs when you got him for Josh Allen's development. You needed a player like that who could help reliably create that separation and create that big playability for you. Now Josh Allen doesn't need that as much as young Josh Allen did. He's an established veteran in this league now, and he proved at the end of last season he could do it without a wide receiver one commanding the targets. So now it just becomes a matter of, well, okay, how is this going to work? And of course, this conjecture happens before the season. All of what I could say could totally blow up in my face. But I do think that overall, like you, I'm agreeing with you. I think it's fine. The group that they have now is fine. They're going to be better than anyone thinks. And like, I'm sorry that they didn't go and trade for the big name, but at the same time, I'm not sorry because they have a cap to manage. They have this is the take the medicine season when it comes to salary cap space. This is the take the medicine season for, well, it was the take the medicine off season for big name players being let go, or guys that had a lasting legacy over the last 5-6 years had to go from this group. And now you're going to look at a team reloading on the fly to make sure that they don't lose their spot in the AFC's hierarchy.
Right. And the big factor here is Josh Allen. Without Josh Allen, this becomes maybe a full-blown rebuild where, you know, the team kind of just tears it down and says, all right, we're going to focus on the future going forward, and, you know, it's going to throw the Darcy Regier term, it's going to require some suffering. You know, but the thing is that Josh Allen is the franchise quarterback here. He's still 27, 28 years old. He is still the number one key piece, the cog of the offense that is going to be that X factor where everything revolves around the quarterback, around Josh Allen. Other than that, you know, the Bills are going to do what they do in the offseason, and they're going to bring in guys, they're going to trade guys, release guys, and they're still going to bet on the fact that Josh Allen is playing in his prime of his career right now, and he can still help the Bills be competitive, whether they are going to repeat again as AFC East champions, whether they're going to be in contention for a wild card, because, I mean, we finally saw it this year, a 7th seed in the wild card playoffs, managed to beat a number 2 seed in the opening round and make it past the wild card round. There's that possibility that that could be the case with the Bills. I mean, I'm still looking and thinking about how the way that all these teams are constructed. I mean, the Patriots we just throw out, but it's, you know, the Jets are getting Aaron Rodgers, and as long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy this year, that defense is considerably good. They always seem to know how to play the Bills in the right way. They know how to beat the Bills. And as long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, he's got good weapons around him. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, you know, I need to bring up their roster a little bit just because it feels like they've made additional moves that I'm just, you know, blanking on right now. But, you know, the Jets and the Dolphins are going to be formidable foes. And even the Dolphins, to an extent, they made a few tweaks to their roster going forward this upcoming season, like the Bills, because they kind of saw the same situation. Whereas, well, we're kind of in a cap crunch. We know that there are some good talent. I don't know if they know exactly what Tua is going to be just yet. I mean, I'm still a guy that I don't believe that Tua Tagovailoa is really all that great, but he certainly shows flashes. It's interesting to see how this division plays itself out this year, because I could still see the Bills being the best team in the division. I could see them being the 3rd best team in the division and still making the playoffs as a wild card team. I could see them being the 2nd best team. It is really just, I mean, this is the down season. There's nothing going on. So now we're just left to kind of think and talk about all this stuff about how things are going to play out. And I mean, we're not even a month away from training camp. We're a little more than that, but this is the type of chatter that we're going to be just driving ourselves nuts over, because we can look at everything on paper and evaluate and try and kind of predict how things are going to go. But until everybody gets on the field and they start playing football games, we really don't know.
We don't know, but for me, it's now become a piece of the wide receiver train fell off, and now this is the trolley car problem of me now willingly flipping the switch. To anyone that doesn't know the trolley car problem and has lived under a rock, it is if you let the trolley car that's running wild, if you let it go, 5 people get killed. But if you actively pull the switch to switch the tracks, you are then responsible for killing 1 person. But for this is not people, it's narrative. And for me, it's this. If I let it go, The narrative that I let die is that it's okay to have a solid group of receivers. But if I pull the switch, I'm killing the you need one big time player at wide receiver to win in the National Football League. And I'm pulling that switch. I'm making the decision to go after the narrative that you need that one big player, one big name player to get it all done. Because Josh Allen of 2019 is not the same as Josh Allen right now. Josh Allen right now probably thrives with the roster that they had given him of John Brown and Cole Beasley being signed to those contracts. And he's already far more entrenched and established in the National Football League at this point. And that's what the Bills have now at wide receiver. And I think they're going to be just fine. Could they be better? Yes. Is it fun to talk about big names? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I need that? No.
No.
Because in the NFL, you pay the major contract to the player who best helps win your team, win for your team. The Minnesota Vikings paid Justin Jefferson because right now, contractually, they can get away with it. If J.J. McCarthy is worth any part of a damn, then that's a great contract. But at the end of that contract, there's a decision to make. And I'll tell you right now, it's going to be the quarterback. The San Francisco 49ers pay Christian McCaffrey a new contract. Why? Because Brock Purdy's not going to be the guy that gets that money. Brandon Ayuk is not the guy that's getting that money. Clearly, they have yet to negotiate a new deal with him. So that tells me they don't think that that's a requirement for them. They're paying the player that best helps them win on offense. Patrick Mahomes is the guy. He has the contract. This is remarkably simple. You pay the player who's going to best help you. Miami's telling us right now that they think it's Jaylen Waddle, not Tua. So therefore, I will say, to respond to the poll from earlier this week from Jeremy, no, I don't want to have to pay that money for a wide receiver because I have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't need that. And it's arrogant to say, but it might be right.
I'd rather just go about with the way that this team is built right now than try and overpay. I mean, even then, you know, again,
or properly pay according to the market.
Sure. I mean, again, I'm not a general manager. I don't know what the right value would be. I know that there's the Jimmy Johnson chart or whatever, the fairness value chart that often gets thrown out when talking about, you know, trading picks and all that because of the Herschel Walker trade, I believe. Albeit, the way that this team is built right now, Josh Allen, it all revolves around Josh Allen. I'll make that point again. He is the cog of this offense. Without Josh Allen, they are, I don't even want to think about
it. They're the garbage that we dealt with for 17 years.
Yes. This team right now, as constructed, reminds me a lot of that 2019 team the Bills had. Josh Allen was in his second year, so he, you know, at this point now, he's certainly had some more reps under his skin, and he's, you know, been to the playoffs an X straight amount of years. He's a guy that is going to be able to distribute the ball better than he did in 2019. He makes better decisions than he did in 2019. He's grizzled now. He's technically a grizzled veteran in the NFL. And I'd rather have a grizzled veteran like that with a team similar constructed to 2019 playing right now than really, I mean, again, if that big number one guy is out there and you're able to go acquire him, then, you know, you can go, you don't have to hold back. You could just stay out with it and go get your guy. But yep. Right now, you know, they don't need to. They really don't need to. Maybe they focus on that next offseason. Maybe they see how things play out this year. Maybe things don't go as they planned and they say, you know what? We know now what we need to go get. I think this year in 24, you know, the hope obviously is to make the playoffs. I think the expectation certainly is to still make the playoffs, especially with Josh Allen at quarterback. But, you know, I don't know if their expectation is to make a deep run in the playoffs. I think they just want to see how this offense operates without that number one target for Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And they have another a bevy of options around Josh Allen to still distribute the ball and be effective on offense. But if they don't need that number one guy, then maybe next year they go into, okay, how do we better protect Josh Allen? How do we better give him, you know, options to dump the ball? So there's a lot of things. I think this year is just an evaluation year for the offense overall, and maybe next year they'll see it as, okay, we got to go get that number one guy. And if that's the case, then great.
We'll put a pin in this because we got to get to Joe Yurden, who is at the NHL Combine. So we'll get some hockey talk coming up next here. Joe Yurden joins us on the other side. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson, you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know what business Buffalo is no longer in? Green banana business. They are no longer in the green banana business. Picks and prospects, it's time to start turning these into players. Yellow bananas in Buffalo, please. No longer green bananas.
What an analogy there from Jeff Merrick as he joined Joe earlier this week on the morning show. And you're hearing a lot of chatter from Merrick and Elliot Friedman about the Buffalo Sabres when it comes to trading the 11th overall pick. Well, why don't we go ahead and dive a little deeper into that, Brayton, as we get from the Combine... The noted jerk himself, one of the more knowledgeable people that we always like to talk to on this show, friend of the show, and hopefully friend of yours out there as well, Joe Yurden, joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Joe, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. Good to be talking with you. Busy day here, hockey wise, eh?
Hey, you know what? Thank you for carving out the time to be able to talk to us down from there. So, why don't we just start there? What's the scene like at the Combine right now, and the gauge on the energy going on from Harbor Center?
Well, I mean, energy is kind of like, well, we've been doing this before, so we're all kind of used to it at this point. But it's seeing the players going through and doing their workouts and all the team staffers just watching everything, keeping an eye on everybody, and seeing if the results check up with how they think they should be. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward day here, but yeah, lots of buzzing, lots of action. We've already spoken with Macklin Celebrini and spoken with a good handful of the top guys already, and we got more to come. So it's full day.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, I've been down there for media day at the Combine, talking with a bunch of the prospects. It's always a fun time because you get the fun, quirky questions that the players reveal in terms of their meetings with general managers and other staff from teams across the NHL. I mean, what have been some of your favorite talking points from some of the prospects today as they get ready for their chance to be drafted in a couple of weeks here?
Well, we're finding out a few of the teams were playing board games to try to find out what makes some of these guys tick. I haven't been able to find out which kind of board games exactly, but an interesting tactic, I think, probably to see how competitive everybody is and how that goes. And yeah, the classic, if you're an animal, what animal would you be? Although I think one of the teams told us you can't pick a horse or a dog, so you have to go in the other direction. So, Teej Aginla, Jerome Aginla's son, so everybody can feel really old out there. told us that he picked to be a Pegasus because it's like, okay, why? And he said, well, horses are very social, but he's like, when it's time for me to fly, like I can rise above. And I'm like, okay, that's a great answer. Real animal or not, that's a great answer. But yeah, it's all about trying to like figure out, the interviews go all week. So they're about trying to figure out what makes some of these guys tick because only get a little bit of time to talk to them, maybe like a half, each team's got like maybe a half hour, 40 minutes with them. And if they set them up to have dinner with them to meet further, to, maybe figure out a little bit more, then they do that. But yeah, it's, It's a very interesting process. It's very different from like the NFL combine, which we've gotten to see over the years. There's no on ice testing here. It's you know, the interviews are the bigger part, although the physical side of this is more for the strength and conditioning coaches.
Joe, now, of course, one of the things about combines is that, you know, like for the first time in a while, the GMs are typically together. And that kind of raises the question of something that's been a popular topic amongst the offseason for the Sabres of the 11th overall pick. Are they going to be keeping it? Will they not? We're starting to hear chatter from the likes of Elliot Friedman, Jeff Merrick about possibly Buffalo looking at dealing that pick. What are your thoughts on it? And have you heard anything around some chatter surrounding Buffalo when it comes to possibly moving that pick?
Well, no real chatter here. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin and the rest of the staff are here watching everything. I mean, it's kind of easy to do that considering it's home turf. But I've heard a lot of the same talk that we're reading about now. And as far as like anything different coming out about that, there's nothing really. But it's this time of year. It's a lot of this can be misdirection. Too, you know, where, you know, you have to kind of take everything with a grain of salt when it concerns draft picks and what, you know, what teams are going to do with them, what they want, you know, if they're going to trade them or whatever. But something that, you know, seeing how New Jersey has made it very clear that they're picking 10th right ahead of Buffalo, and how they've said that, you know, that pick is very much up for grabs. That might get in the way of how Buffalo handles that. Although, both teams have different, vastly different needs. You know, New Jersey needs goaltending. Buffalo needs, you know, I don't know, like top six help, maybe. You know, like it's different needs for what you want to do. But I said as soon as they didn't win the lottery, I said that 11th pick should be up for grabs because you can make a great pick and get a great player here. Yes, and that player can be a vital addition. A big addition in 2-3 years time, but the Sabres aren't in the time. They're not in the window of waiting around for somebody right now. I mean, they've got a ton of prospects and everything, but you don't need to be. It's not necessary to pick at 11 if there's a deal to be made where you can improve your team right now.
Joe Yerden, noted hockey and from Bleacher Report, joining us right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. You can also follow him on X and also on Blue Sky at Joe Yerden. Joe, looking at the pick, though, we could be talking all we want about trying to trade them, but we look at last year's draft order come the first round, nothing happened. No trades were made. The draft order remained the same, and just one of those things that happens every once in a while. But when looking at that 11th pick, I don't know how much you've looked into the prospects in terms of who might be available or who might be something or who might be a player you're keeping an eye on. I mean, who are maybe some of those players that kind of piques your interest in terms of maybe who might be available for the Sabres at 11?
Well, there's a couple of guys, and it's a couple of forwards, and we just spoke with them within the last hour here. One being Cole Yzerman out of the U.S. program, the all-time leading scorer from the program. He just broke Cole Caulfield's record there this season. Big talent, big offensive upside, big scorer. He says he spent this, you know, a lot of the second half of this year working on his defensive side of the game, knowing that it's a weakness, and very confident player, very heady, and you know, likes to score goals, which is I think everybody can sign off on. Konsta Helenius out of Finland's another one to keep an eye on. People are going to note the size because he came in at about 5'10" and under 200 pounds, but a very confident player. We just spoke with him maybe 5 minutes ago. An extremely confident player in his abilities and what he can do. And he's a center, so I think he could be somebody of interest for them at that position. Although I do wonder if the draft is going to kind of flip on its head the way it did last year, where when Montreal took Reinbacher, and there was a big defense run after that because elite defensemen were kind of hard to find at the top of last year's draft, mm-hmm. and that's how Zach Benson ended up slipping down to 13 for Buffalo. I wonder if the opposite might happen with forwards this year because defense is very heavy at the top of the board, and you know, elite forwards. I mean, obviously outside of Macklin Celebrini, are kind of in demand there. So I do wonder if maybe players like that might end up jumping up the board just simply because people are going to say, like, well, there's a lot of defensemen. We can get somebody who's similar to maybe somebody else that we had our eye on, you know, when it's, you know, later on. But yeah, it's if Buffalo ends up holding on to their pick, I think those are two guys to really keep an eye on. Obviously, the connections with the program are obvious with Buffalo. You know, he just hired Mike Leone to coach in Rochester, came from the program and coached in the USHL. So there's that. But they've done pretty well with guys from Finland, guys from Sweden, and you know, if you've got top players there, they're worth getting.
Joe, we can shift now a little bit as the Stanley Cup final is tonight. And of course, game one, Florida, Edmonton. The story of these two teams, very drastically different when it comes to one being top heavy with the best, with probably the best duo in the National Hockey League. And then on the other side, a gritty team like Florida that just makes sure that they physically will their way to the success that they've had.
Yeah, it's a really interesting comparison with these two. I'm going to be very interested to see how Florida handles Dreisaitl and McDavid because, I mean, you know, everybody in the league struggles with trying to put a wrap on them because they're just so tough to defend. And if you give them power plays, I mean, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You know, Florida doesn't mind mixing it up, which can sometimes lead to penalties, which can cause trouble. But you know, it's very funny to see Matthew Tkachuk talking about how he's cut out the in-between whistle stuff this year, which is like, okay, man, I guess I suppose so. I guess that counts for something. But the part of that matchup that's going to be really interesting for me is McDavid and Drysdale having to deal with Alexander Barkov, who I don't know. You track Florida's run to the Cup final this year. Him and his line have been able to put wraps on everybody along the way. This is an entirely different challenge, mind you. But Barkov's the best of the best. I mean, he won the Selkie again this year. So I'm going to be very interested to see what that squaring off is going to be like between him and McDavid, because I don't know. That's the kind of stuff us super nerds of hockey love to see is the best face the best for that stuff. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting, especially with Bob playing very well in goal, Bobrovsky. You know, and Florida's defense just jumps into the play so well, and they still defend at the same time. So, yeah, this is going to be a fascinating series. I don't think this is going to be – I know the offensive numbers Edmonton puts up are crazy, but this is a completely different challenge than they've faced up to this year.
Joe Yerden here on the Western Hotline here on WGR. So how do you think this plays out, Joe? Why do you think that the Cup final goes? I mean, do you have anything in particular you're hoping to see? Any predictions?
I'm obviously hoping to see the best of the best here. I want this to be an exciting series. I'm a little bit slanted in my view just because I've seen Florida so many times this year, you know, covering the Sabres and, you know, following them in the division and everything, that I think that they've got a real edge. And I think they've, you know, comparing it to past teams that have been in that position where, you know, they were in a Cup final and they lose in a tough way against a team that was, you know, basically destined in Vegas last year. Teams like that learn that lesson, that if they're back the next year, they tend to apply it. And I have the feeling we're going to see that with Florida. I think Florida comes away with it, but if they don't stay out of the box, they don't stay out of the box and they don't challenge Stuart Skinner in goal, it could be a very, very unpleasant time for them in the Cup final, because if you give McDavid and Dreisaitl and Zach Hyman all the time and space around the net to score, they're going to. And I like Florida, but it's, I don't know, I've been kind of picking on Edmonton all playoffs, saying like, well, this is going to end at some point, right? And they just keep winning. So, but I'm going to be stupid and pick against them again. I think Florida takes it.
Well, there it is. We'll see what happens there, Joe. By the way, the Lions got slapped with losing a practice. They're trying to get an extra edge, man. I like it.
You know what? If you ain't cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly.
Say. But plus, like, that means they get to start vacation a day earlier. So
see, look at that.
Maybe it's a little bit of a method of the madness.
They were thinking long game.
Yes, that's right. Everybody wanted to get to the beach sooner. So, you know, just, you know, kind of push each other in practice and then just kind of go for it after that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get sanctioned. We'll lose our one extra practice. All the players are like, oh, no, man.
Oh, no, we get to go home? Bummer.
Joe, thank you as always for being able to join us, especially today with how hectic the day is for you, to be able to carve out a window of time for us here. It's always appreciated. You may be the noted jerk on social media, but you've got a place in our hearts.
Well, I appreciate that, Derek. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me today.
We always appreciate you, Joe. Thanks for coming on. That is
Joe Yurden,
noted hockey, Bleacher Report on the West Her Hotline. And Brayton, you and I, we love talking to Joe. Anytime we have a chance to see him, we'll make sure to get out of our way to...
Yeah, he's definitely the type of guy that you see him in a crowd and you're like, I have to go say hi to Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to go say, I'm going to fight through all these people to just go say hi to Joe.
Jacob Trouba style, elbows out.
Yes. elbows out.
Elbows out.
And upwards.
All right, we'll come back here. We'll switch, we'll dial back into that discussion of the Bills when it comes to paying the wide receiver, the trolley train problem, but also probably have our nonsense segment coming up here next as we're over the clock here. Oh, well, that's something that happens here on all of our shows.
It's all too common.
All too common. We learned from the best in Howard. Derek and Brayton here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, Sports Talk Saturday. Hour two going to be in the books here. Derek and Brayton carrying you through for your weekend shenanigans here. Brayton, you get a chance to watch The Acolyte yet?
Watch the what now?
The Acolyte Star Wars series?
No.
All right. Well, first of all, the uncharacteristic amount of hate that's happening from Star Wars quote-unquote fans irritates me. Secondly, it's been solid so far. I'm not going to say it's the best series I've seen from them, but at the same time, through two shows, I've liked what I've seen so far. I don't like it's...
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you know, like that's one of the things about it. Like, it's just this day and age. You know,
I just fear that there's going to be too much Star Wars and people are just going to end up getting sick of it.
Then take a break.
That's my fear.
That's my
of
thing.
It.
My thing is, if people are going to hate on it unnecessarily, take a break. It's summer. Go out on the grill, cook a burger, cook a dog, sit down, recompose yourself, come back.
Or just do what I did and just watch the first 9 and then just be done. The original 9.
I mean, I'm always gonna grab the extras.
I'm with you on that, Brayton.
Listen. I have watched the first 9. That I did it the way it came out: 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8, 9.
Which
and then
the
I rewatched it: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And then after that, just like, yeah, no, Star Wars is fine. I get why people love it. It's kind of a cult classic. And I get why people are just
That's
like,
right.
oh, my
For
God,
a while,
this
you
is,
never
you
had
know,
seen it. That's right.
It's like, okay, whatever. I don't really care about Star Wars. But, yeah, again, I don't mind Star Wars, but I'm good with just the original 9. I don't need all the extra stuff.
Well, I mean, I like seeing it. I'm a junkie. I don't care. So I'll keep watching it. I'll let everyone know what's going on. I'll let everyone know even though they're not asking for it. Speaking of things that we're not asking for, we got to get back to a break because, format clocks and stuff. When we come back, we can talk Bills. We'll also throw a Sabres question out there for you as well. 803-0550. Plenty of room for you. There's no guests coming in this final hour. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson, we run it home for one more hour. Coming up next on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Saturday. Hour two going to be in the books here. Derek and Brayton carrying you through for your weekend shenanigans here. Brayton, you get a chance to watch The Acolyte yet?
Watch the what now?
The Acolyte Star Wars series?
No.
All right. Well, first of all, the uncharacteristic amount of hate that's happening from Star Wars quote-unquote fans irritates me. Secondly, it's been solid so far. I'm not going to say it's the best series I've seen from them, but at the same time, through two shows, I've liked what I've seen so far.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you know, like, that's one of the things about it. Like, it's just this day and age. You know,
I just fear that there's going to be too much Star Wars and people are just going to end up getting sick of it.
Then take a break.
That's my fear
that's my
of
thing.
It.
My thing is, if people are going to hate on it unnecessarily, take a break. It's summer. Go out on the grill. Cook a burger. Cook a dog. Sit down. Recompose yourself. Come back.
Or just do what I did and just watch the first 9 and then just be done. The original 9.
I mean, I'm always gonna grab the extras.
I'm with you on that, Brayton.
Listen. I have watched the first 9. That I did it the way it came out: 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8, 9.
Which
and then
the
I rewatched it: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And then after that, just like, yeah, no, Star Wars is fine. I get why people love it. It's kind of a cult classic, and I get why people are just
that's
like,
right.
Oh my god,
while,
this
you
is,
never
you know,
had seen it. That's right.
It's like, okay, whatever. I don't really care about Star Wars, but yeah. Again, I don't mind Star Wars, but I'm good with just the original 9. I don't need all the extra stuff.
Well, I mean, I like seeing it. I'm a junkie. I don't care. So I'll keep watching it. I'll let everyone know what's going on. I'll let everyone know even though they're not asking for it. Speaking of things that we're not asking for, well, we got to get back to a break because, format clocks and stuff. When we come back, we can talk Bills. We'll also throw a Sabres question out there for you as well. 803-0550. Plenty of room for you. There's no guests coming in this final hour. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson, we run it home for one more hour. Coming up next on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.